Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
This tells the story here, folks.
I'm tackling Rosie, get on board.
Yeah.
We gonna ride.
You know, when Mrs. S is out of town, ain't nothing but craziness.
Lord, don't you know?
Oh, yeah, I grilled some meat. And I listened to, my man Neil Diamond. It was a good, that's a good Saturday night, Mike. Or Friday night, whatever it was.
Ah, it's such wild times. The nights just blend together,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was crazy.
One Neil Diamond meat-infused days of a weekend, huh?
You know what? There's nothing better than meat wrapped in meat served with a side of meat.
Yeah, you
That's
did.
What I had this
That
weekend.
Was the picture. It was it bacon-wrapped filet?
Yeah, bacon-wrapped filet.
With a side of pork chop.
Yes. Yes.
Not a vegetable to be found.
No, you don't need no one. But my plate had a lot of colors on it.
Right.
So.
I'd be the same way.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I say you had a bachelor weekend.
Yeah.
Wife was out
just
of town.
Me and the dog.
You and the dog, and you just decided to go just full meat fest.
Full meat fest.
Meat sweats, meat coma.
I think I got into bed Saturday night. Saturday night I was watching the Rockies. I got into bed at 6:45.
You crazy cat, you.
Kooky.
You just are.
It was great. Just me and the dog and the Rockies.
Just a big old lump of meat.
We got to break up the Rockies, by the
Woo!
Way. How about the starting pitching of the Rockies?
Keep it up,
quality
baby.
Starts, baby. Quality starts.
Fire a little hope.
Yeah. I know we might have to start that apology letter to Jeff Ryan.
Oh, let's not go crazy yet, all right?
Maybe the doctor does know what he's doing.
Easy, easy, easy there, big fella. Easy. So, I had a revelation over the weekend.
Oh, gosh.
If the San Francisco 49ers take Mac Jones at number 3.
Okay.
Then Justin Fields or Trey Lance will be on the board at 9. And George Payton will take him.
How did you come up with this scenario?
Well, first of all, if the 49ers love Mac Jones enough that they take him at 3, that's a statement right there. Because I don't think many other teams would view him as worthy of going there at number 3. That would be clearly Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. They just feel he's the guy. But if he doesn't get picked there, I could easily see other teams saying, hey, look, like Mac Jones, but he's not worth the price of trying to move up from, you know, let's say if you're in New England, from 15 to 9 or 15 to 7.
Yeah, okay.
You're better off saying, look, if he drops to us, fine. Or maybe we'll move 15 to 12, whatever. You know, something
right.
like that.
Okay.
But it's not going to be something seismic. And so if Mac Jones goes to 3 at 3 to San Francisco, then in theory, Fields and or Lance, one of them will drop to the point where they're available. And because, again, I don't think a team is going to pay the price. You know, everyone's been talking about New England moving up. I don't see it. I you know, Bill Belichick, if I'm Bill Belichick, I'm sitting back saying, wait a minute now. I built a 20-year dynasty on a 6-round quarterback, and by the way, I think I found his replacement that I really liked in the 2nd round, Jimmy Garoppolo. Why the heck am I going to overextend for a quarterback and give up valuable draft capital? I don't see him doing it. So I don't think you're going to see teams move up into the top 10. So a team there sitting at 9, like the Broncos, yeah. I think one of them, if Mac Jones goes 3, one of them will be available.
I think it's interesting.
And George Payton won't be able to help himself.
I think it's interesting because I think that if in fact San Francisco has done a great job of providing misinformation. And this Mac Jones is nothing more than a, you know, nothing more than a neon light that's down on Times Square just flashing, right? And in reality, they want either Fields or Lance. Then all of a sudden, you know, then all of a sudden there's a different story to it.
But why a smokescreen? If everybody agrees the draft starts at 3, why a smokescreen? What are you holding out for? Why not just make your intentions known as clearly as Jacksonville and the Jets have made theirs?
Well, there's a reason that they're Jacksonville and the Jets, and they don't, you know, have much collective success amongst them. And I understand that, you know, that Trevor Lawrence has been the consensus number one since a year ago. I just don't know. So if they do take Mac Jones, though, doesn't that all of a sudden, like, potential is a dirty four-letter word, and potential is that thing that people, they bend over backwards for, right? They move up in the draft for potential. I mean, that's just the way potential works. They get excited, enamored by it. What could be the prospect? Oh my goodness. Like Trey Lance is, oh my gosh. Yes, he hasn't played in a year. Yes, you know, he played at a small school, but his ceiling is so high. And so people get, I mean, again, it comes down to, he may be great. He may be all those things, but it does come down to this selling of hope. And I think you're selling it to yourself as an organization as well. I think you sell it with wide receivers. You sell it with quarterbacks. The two positions of hope that you sell more than any two other positions are those two positions. Like, oh, we just get this wide receiver that has speed. That's what's going to put our offense over the top. Oh, we just get this young quarterback. He's going to be, you know, a unicorn, and that's going to put us over the top. And I just think that that's, you know, I just think that that's foolish. And I think there's a lot of teams in this league that fall for that foolishness.
Coming up, you are going to be put in a very, very uncomfortable position.
Me?
Yes, you. One that you don't like, one that you don't find yourself in that often, but you're going to be put in a position where you have to admit that you may be wrong. Wrong.
That's crazy
talk. I don't know. I might have him, folks. I might have him. See how he wiggles out. Next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
All right, my 14-year-old son Brady wakes up to the show for getting ready for school. So he heard the conversation. He thinks the 49ers take Mac Jones.
He does.
So, yeah, that's his expert opinion.
All right.
By the way, you got to appreciate a son who's already got career goals in mind. He wants to be a draft analyst.
Does he?
Yes.
Really?
He wants to be.
Yeah, well,
he wants to be Mel Kiper. He wants to be Todd McShay. He wants to be, dare I say, Cecil Lemmy.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I mean, he's got all the credentials.
So, I guess I got to set up a studio in the basement for him to start practicing, huh?
You need to get one, you know what? Forget building out of cardboard. I think we're going to build this one out of wood.
There you go.
Right? Wood. Draft expert.
Right.
Love it.
Love it. So let's see if I can get you to admit that you're wrong about something.
Well, you
all right? Hold on to that, Benny. Hold on to that. So your friends at Pro Football Focus. I know how much you love Pro Football.
Oh, yeah. Love them.
How they grade things. They're, based in London.
Yes. Yeah.
Guys who are soccer fans who
yeah.
great NFL players without any sense of context of what the scheme or the game plan or what the play was. And
throw another shrimp on the Bobby.
No, that's not London. Anyway, Bronco fans, this is going to be great news. According to Pro Football Focus, they ranked all 32 rosters.
Uh-huh.
They had the Broncos roster rated sixth.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling.
So, Mark Schlereth, you who for months have been banging the drum that this roster's not good enough, that this roster has a lot of work to do,
mm-hmm.
that the last thing they can do is splurge on a quarterback because there are too many other holes to fill. Apparently, this roster's already ready-made and ready to win.
Yes.
So are you ready to admit? Are you ready to admit, Benny, that you were wrong?
I was ruined.
That's it. That's all you got. One.
I was ruined.
That's a good pull right there. That's a good pull.
It's like the Fonz. You can't admit you were wrong.
I was ruined.
All right, let me just.
All right, so hey, Pro Football Focus.
Yeah, well, either one. They don't watch. They obviously don't watch film. I don't know. I mean, I know they do.
We didn't have great eyes.
They watch film, but maybe they just don't know what they're looking at. Who rated that roster? They had the New Orleans Saints roster at like 12. So let me just go through the New Orleans Saints roster, okay? Let me just go through their offensive line. Armstead's a third rounder. Anders Pete's a first rounder. Eric McCoy's a second rounder. Cesar Ruiz is a first rounder. Ramchek is a first rounder. Ryan Ramchek's all pro. Terron Armstead, all pro. Anders Pete, pro bowler. Eric McCoy, pro bowler. Michael Thomas led the league in catches. He's an all pro. 2 years ago. They've got Alvin Kamara, all pro. That roster is better than our roster.
Well, I would say they look at it. Their argument is that you look at what they've got on defense, and there's a lot of proven commodities on this defense. And then offensively, it's a bunch of first and second round guys, right? Garrett Bowles, first rounder. Dalton Reisner, second rounder. Cortland Sutton, second rounder. Jerry Jeudy, first rounder. KJ Hamler, second rounder. Noah Fant, first rounder.
Did I just give you all the first rounders and second rounders on the Saints?
I agree, but.
Okay. Let's go for the defense now. Cameron Jordan. All pro, multiple all pro, one of the top pass rushing DNs in football. Has been for years. Not a lot of people know David Onyemata, but that guy is a great three technique right now. Better than any inside player we have. Again, this is from somebody who actually studies film. Marcus Davenport is a first rounder. You've got Demario Davis, one of the best linebackers in football. Sideline to sideline, super smart. Marshawn Lattimore, all pro. Malcolm Jenkins, all pro, safety. And Patrick Robinson as a corner, former first rounder.
Okay. Fine. Okay.
All I'm telling you, I will give the Broncos at the safety position. You guys win. You guys got two Pro Bowlers there. At the corner position, I'm not ready to say, oh yeah, I mean, Ronald Darby and Fuller, I'll even give you a wash there. Or even give the Broncos, the secondary, I'll give the Broncos the edge there. Linebacker, middle linebacker, not even close. And D-line, okay, we're close. Offensively, we're not, that roster is not, it's not close. And then I think the other thing about this Pro Football Focus thing that really irritates me, you don't even look at the backups. When Cortland Sutton goes down, did that hurt us? I looked at these teams.
Okay, maybe they're not sixth. That probably is a bit excessive. But maybe this roster isn't as bad as you think it is.
Or maybe Pro Football Focus. Look, no. Here's the problem again with Pro Football Focus. The problem with Pro Football Focus is they are really good at certain things. Football is not one of them. They are really good at creating a narrative. They are really good at obscure statistics that make statements. They are really good at yards per air target and crap that nobody's ever heard of. That you're like, wow, that's really, But this, they are not good at. This stuff, they are not good at. And that is insane. Were they ahead of Buffalo? The team that beat us 48-19 or something like that? I think they were ahead of Buffalo, that roster. Yeah, the sixth best roster in football won five games last year. Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, their argument may be that it's a roster that just needs better quarterback play. And it can be Bills-like, Saints-like.
It does, I will agree, it does need better quarterback play. I mean, listen. Maybe they adhere to the theory of if we just get enough speed, we're as good as Kansas City. Maybe that's what they adhere to. I will give them this: they were right about one thing. The number one roster in football is Tampa Bay.
They did get that right. They got that one.
They got that one right.
Okay. Morning Brew is coming up next. Hey, Avalanche and Nugget fans, if you're upset about the current TV situation. Might have some advice for you from across the pond. That's next.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your morning brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to keep lightning, and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino.
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet shit.
Let's get it on.
High fly, deep left field. Take a good look. You won't see it for long. Grand slam, Trevor Story. They wanted something to cheer about.
They got
something to cheer about.
AT&T Sportsnet there with the call. So the Rockies at least they're hanging in there. They're hanging around.
Right.
There's a little bit of, they're still relevant. Boy, when they came back from that road trip after getting swept in San Francisco and Los Angeles, they're sitting there at 3-10, and it's looking like really bleak. Like really, really bleak. Well, they came home. They had a homestand of, 3, 5, 8 games, and they managed to go a solid 5-3 on the homestand.
Yeah, it was really good. And by the way, you know, the old saying that, solo homers can't hurt you. You know, the old baseball, like, you got to give John Gray a lot of credit, giving up solo homers, couple solo homers, and still, you know, being able to battle through it and get another quality start. And I think the Rockies right now are top 4 or 5 in quality starts by their starters. I mean, it's
nothing
just
wrong with their starting pitching.
No, it's been really good.
Well, okay, now let's take what we just saw with this homestand, which gave us a little bit of hope, and now look at this next stretch. 10 of the next 13 are on the road, including 3 at San Francisco, 4 at Arizona, and 3 at St. Louis. Sandwiched around a quick 3-game, welcome back for a minute, homestand against San Francisco. So let's see what they can do about that 0-6 road record, shall we? Next on the Morning Brew.
You know, it was a hard-fought hockey game. We take 2 or 3 dumb penalties tonight, and they end up costing us. Like, they score the game-winning goal in a 5-1-3. We're tied game in the third period on the road. It's a good spot to be. We felt good about being there the way the second period went, and then the penalties killed us.
Jared Bednar, after the Avalanche, a little bit sloppy, undisciplined, in a 5-3 loss to St. Louis on Saturday, in which Ryan O'Reilly got a hat trick against his old club. But I think the thing to consider here, look, you got an Avalanche team that's cruising right now. you got a St. Louis team that's fighting for their playoff lives. And the Blues won a Stanley Cup just a couple years ago. The Blues are a proud franchise. And they're in a battle for the fourth and final playoff spot with Arizona. So you had to figure playing a couple of games in St. Louis. By the way, they have one more coming up tonight. That winning all of them was going to be tough. So we'll cut them a little slack.
What did the great Sandy Clough once say? You can't manufacture desperation.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you see some desperation from St. Louis. More so than he did from the Avalanche. So, that's the way it is. Still, as are in great shape. Don't have to turn in my pocket. I'm not part of the team.
Hey, win tonight. You take two out of three from St. Louis in St. Louis, a team that is hungry and desperate. I think that would be a pretty strong statement right there. We'll see how they bounce back tonight. Next on the Morning Brew.
Just got to continue with that. Continue to get better every day. Take day by day, game by game. But, you know, games like this, you just got to take a step back and, like, take a deep breath and just, thank God and just appreciate the moments because, you know, when you're just striving so much sometimes, you just get caught up. So that's what I try to do.
Michael Porter Jr., the Nuggets got run out of the gym by the Warriors on Friday night. That one kind of surprised me. I mean, the Warriors have been playing very well, but they had been on a long road trip and first game back. You know, sometimes that first game home after a long road trip, you catch a team a little flat, but they weren't flat. They got hammered, but then they turned right around and come back home and beat the Rockets 129-16. Here's the issue. Another big injury. Will Barton's going to be out for a significant amount of time with a hamstring injury. And, Mark, I'm all for preaching next man up, but, boy, when you start talking about taking out Jamal Murray and Will Barton, I know that Will Barton has his critics and detractors among Nugget fans. A lot of people, Will Barton drives him crazy. James Marillette will be joining us coming up, and I know Will Barton drives him crazy at times. But still, this is a guy who's a pretty reliable NBA scorer who can get real hot and carry you for stretches of a game. Now you're without Murray and without Barton. At what point does it become too much?
Yeah, that's tough. I was watching that game Friday night. It was on ESPN and watched Barton pull up. And I mean, obviously that's a tough. He's a big part of what they do. We talk about that kind of that big three, that rotation all the time. And you still have to have other players step up when things aren't going well. Barton was always that guy that could, you know, he'd get hot, fill it up for a while. He'd be one of those guys. If one of your guys isn't producing offensively, and Gordon really hasn't produced offensively that much. That's a huge loss, Mike, a huge loss. And, you know, and then Curry ends up coming in and gets ankle injury in the first quarter and then comes in and scores 25 in the second half. And I'm telling you, I spent a lot of time when my wife was out of town listening to national shows talk about, yeah, it's a foregone conclusion, whatever, Joker, but, you know, here comes Kurt.
Yesterday they were trying to resuscitate talk of Kyrie Irving being the MVP. Kyrie Irving?
And then
Kyrie Irving?
I heard Julius Randle. Hey, what he's doing right now. I mean, he was a former bust for the Lakers, but now what he's doing.
Julius
Randle should have consideration. I mean, it was everybody but.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like, well, the Joker's kind of winning.
But.
Right.
Yeah. Next on the Morning Brew.
If you don't do what we say, Charlotte's here and no, not review.
Critics are raving British. Extremely British. I didn't understand what they were saying. And the director of Here's He Is Round a Bend and Gruff, all right? Comes the toughest, grittiest, most British crime drama of the year.
Don't go round me, Ro.
Don't you go round and round to reload. What?
You're right, Benny. That might be the best one right there. Here you go. So,
you know what's funny about that? I watched a really, like, MGM Britain movie with Jason Statham.
Yeah, the action star. Yeah.
Right? And it was uber British.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Everybody, and it was uber. And they start talking. Like, I can't understand a damn. I'm just following it scene by scene because I can't understand the language.
Everyone's British. I mean, like I'm a fan of The Walking Dead, and you can't get a show that's more like, you know, Southern based and just, you know, and then they do these interviews with these actors who play these characters that are all like as Southern gets, and they start talking and they got British accents. Right. I'm like, wait a minute, you're English too? Good Lord, can we find somebody from America to play these roles?
When they play in an American movie, they have to tone down the British, like the British talk, like the real super British talk.
So let me get to the story here.
Oh, sorry.
So as frustrated as many Avalanche and Nugget fans are when it comes to the ongoing television dispute, and both sides are in the wrong, at least it hasn't gotten to the point where it got over the weekend recently with Arsenal, the soccer team that is owned by the Cronkies, where apparently a combination of just dislike of the Cronkies, which, by the way, has existed since the moment they purchased the team, to now culminating with this Super League that got quickly squashed because of complaints. So some 2,000 soccer fans gathered outside their stadium on Friday to protest the Cronkies, including waving a sign. Hold on, let me see if I got to make sure I have the sign correct here. Yes, Cronky 19, the American virus.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing, real quick. They lit flares.
Ooh.
As a form of protest. So, you know what's even better than flares?
What's that?
Pitchforks and lanterns.
Pitchforks and lanterns. They don't like, the English do not like the Americans coming and messing with their sport, right? They do not like it. You know what those guys were, all those 2,000? Probably hooligans.
Yes!
Hooligans. So you gotta be careful about the hooligans.
Be careful with the hooligans, you're right. Now, though, for the Morning Brew, bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30.
They will light a flare right in your eyes. Very bright.
James Merrillat. And then he took a sledgehammer. That's right. Grab your sledgehammers. And then we'll march down with pitchforks and lanterns.
Lanterns?
On Ball Arena.
That's right.
We'll head on down to the sack and we'll take a page from our Arsenal fan counterparts. There you go. Show them how much they are very passionate about that. Mm-hmm. That is no doubt about that. Woo! Okay, James Merrillat joins us next. James Merrillat joins us, leader of all things DenverFan.com. Check him out and all his great. In fact, I gotta mention something here in just a second here. But James, good morning. He appears on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Mark is in a bit of a tizzy over the weekend. Pro Football Focus came out and ranked all the NFL rosters, and the Broncos sixth. Sixth ahead of teams like, who is it, Baltimore, the Rams, Seattle?
Yeah. Well, look, is sixth a little high? Sure. But, man, talk about starting my week off on a high note. I mean, this validates what I said a year ago. It's why I picked them 10-6. I said I liked their roster. I just didn't give enough factor to the Fangio effect. And I think if you look at them now, it's even a better roster. I mean, their defense, everybody's saying, you know, first it was, oh, it's going to be top 10, then it's top 5. Now you hear, oh, they're going to be the best defense in the league. Okay, well, that's pretty good. And then the other side of the ball, 10 of the 11 positions are basically set. I mean, quarterback's the only one that is kind of up for debate. You throw in a Pro Bowl caliber kicker. Yeah, it's a good roster, at least the starting 22. Now, there's maybe some depth issues. I think that would be hard to argue. But in terms of who on paper is supposed to line up for opening Sunday, week one, yeah, there's not a ton of holes. Maybe middle linebacker on defense, and could you improve from Josie Jewell? Sure. And then obviously quarterback. That's the glaring spot.
It's funny how narratives work, right? Because this affirmed your narrative of this roster's pretty good.
Yeah.
And this also affirmed my narrative of Pro Football Focus is really bad at understanding football. So, you know, they're great with some stats and some other things. So it's funny how both of us look at this, but I guess I would say to you either they're crazy, which I think they are because they've got New Orleans ranked lower. I mean, and I'm talking about all pro left tackle, all pro right tackle, all pro guard, all pro center, all pro wide receiver, all pro running back. Yeah, their roster is worse than ours, but
But whatever, I digress. I guess I would ask you, how much of a concern is the coaching of Vic Fangio if you've got one of the best rosters in football and you can only muster five wins?
I think it's a huge concern. I think that that just puts even more of a spotlight on that being the issue with this team. We wrote about it today. Cecil did on DenverFan.com, and it came up. I think it was Colin Cowherd that was talking about this last week, and this may have been a Pro Football Focus conversation of, hey, it's all about quarterback and head coach in the NFL. Well, the Broncos may be 0-2 in those two categories, right? So they could have all the other things set, but if you're whiffing on both of those key positions and that's what, you know, drives NFL success, then none of the other stuff really matters. And I think they're closer with Drew Lock in terms of finding an answer at the quarterback position than they are at head coach with Vic Fangio. And I'm not trying to just continually beat up on Vic Fangio. But this is a guy who came in here and was supposed to be a defensive guru, and their defense has been disappointing. I mean, they gave up 30-plus points in 8 games last year. Half the time, they gave up 30-plus. Heading into the season finale, through 15 games, they had forced 12 turnovers. They became the only team in NFL history in 2019 to start a season and go the first 3 games without getting a sack or forcing a turnover. They've blown 4 games in the last drive to guys like Gardner Minshew, Jacoby Brissett, Mitch Trubisky. I mean, the problems, the red flags just go on and on and on, and I haven't even got to the fact that the guy doesn't know when to call a timeout at the end of the game. There are all sorts of concerns with Vic Fangio. He's proven absolutely nothing during his first 2 years. Now, maybe he'll turn it around. Maybe. But that's just hope at this point, because I defy anyone to tell me, since he's been in Denver, what's happened that has given you realistic reason to be optimistic about Vic Fangio? I just can't find it.
Visitor James Merrillat. Okay, if let's say Pro Football Focus has it right, and this is a top 10 roster in the NFL. You know how things exist in the NFL. You have windows, 2-3 year windows to really maximize success. So let's say this roster's that good. What does that tell you about what kind of direction you go at the quarterback position?
Well, they're in a little bit of a pickle from that standpoint, right? Because, you know, you look at that roster, and a lot of them are coming into the last year of their deal. I mean, Von Miller may only be here 1 year. Bryce Callahan, Kyle Fuller. So the list kind of goes on and on and on. If you draft a guy, well, he's not going to be able to maximize this roster. There's going to be a learning curve. If it's Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, doesn't matter. And they may turn into a all-pro caliber quarterback. They're going to struggle as a rookie. That just kind of goes without saying. And I don't think if you bring in Teddy Bridgewater, I don't think he's a guy that's going to be able to lift this or carry this roster or ride this roster to 10-plus wins and get in the playoffs. So, yeah, it's kind of the spot of like, well, I don't know that they can go get a quarterback that can maximize this roster. That's why Carson Wentz, Matthew Stafford had the situation not just unraveled in Houston with Deshaun Watson. That would have made a ton of sense for this team, a proven veteran quarterback who actually has upside, not just a bridge guy, because the rest of the roster was kind of ready to win now. That's the pickle they're in. They don't really have the opportunity to get that quarterback. Heck, Drew Lock may be the best option in terms of, you know, a guy who's been here, knows the system, has some upside in terms of if trying to maximize this roster. And if Drew Lock's your best option, I think it kind of shows how you've painted yourself into a corner.
Yeah, I don't obviously know what they're going to do, but based upon, like, what you see George Payton doing so far, rolling into this draft on Thursday, what's your gut tell you about their plan?
My gut is they sit at 9. If a quarterback falls, they grab one. If not, they take, you know, Micah Parsons and say, hey, we got a day one starter. First day of training camp, he's with the first group and he's out there. That's my gut. The second option would be they trade back. George Payton talks about darts more than Ted Lasso. I mean, that's all he talks about. We need more darts. We need more darts. So that's going backwards in the draft, not moving up. So, I think the prospects of them, you know, doing something bold and moving up to 4, that's all fun to talk about, and it may be the smart way to go. It may be pushing your chips in and, you know, making a splash early. I just don't see that happening. I mean, at this point, we got to take George Payton at his word, and everything he says and suggests is that they're going to stand pat or move back If I was a betting man, I'd say they stay at 9 and take Micah Parsons.
I know you're not a huge Will Barton fan, but even you would have to admit this is a big loss.
Oh, yeah. I mean, at some point, you just can't overcome injury after injury after injury. I mean, they were playing, the Nuggets were playing pretty well without Jamal Murray. Now, was that long term? I don't know, but they had somebody in Michael Porter Jr. who could step up and be the second star, and he's actually done that. What did he have, 39 the other night? I mean, he's been that guy. But the Monte Morris injury was huge, and now you add Will Barton on top of it. I mean, look, when you're starting backcourt is Campazzo and Dozier, you're not a contender. If it's Monte Morris and Will Barton, that may not be ideal, but you can win a lot of basketball games with that combo. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Will Barton is not my favorite Nugget by any means, but he's a heck of a lot better option than P.J. Dozier.
Real quick, I want to mention this because very proud of all the contributions, all the different guys who and ladies that weigh in on DenverFan.com. I don't know if you saw Peter King's Football Morning in America column today, James, but he references a piece that Nate Jackson did for 104.3 The Fan in Denver. And I recommend people go and check it out and check out the whole article at DenverFan.com. But it's Nate weighing in on the importance of the Broncos being at these offseason workouts. And it got a national plug there from Peter King.
Yeah, no, and deservedly so. I mean, it was a great piece last week from Nate. I think it talked a lot about how, you know, those bonds that kind of bring a team together when it's, you know, you're down six with a minute and a half to go, and you step into the huddle. It's, you know, it's not just going through X's and O's and field work during OTAs. It's, you know, being in the gym and working out together and kind of the blood, sweat, and tears part of it. It's a great piece. Everybody should definitely go check it out. It's nice that Peter King mentioned it for sure, and deservedly so.
James, thank you.
You bet, guys. Thank
James
you.
James Merrillette from DenverFan.com on the Johnson Auto Plaza Hotline. I want to read what Nate wrote that Peter King used in his column and get your perspective on it next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.